Love that chiming in. All right, we'll go ahead and call this meeting to order. Chris, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Bruce.
Here.
Councilmember Biggs.
Here.
Councilmember Laraway.
Here.
Mayor Steer.
Here. And if you'll join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. First item up is the consent agenda. Any questions, comments, anything you want pulled for discussion?
Make a motion that we approve the consent agenda.
I'll second it.
All right. Motion's made and seconded to approve the consent agenda. Is there any further discussion? Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Bruce.
Aye.
Councilmember Biggs.
Aye.
Councilmember Laraway.
Aye.
And that motion carries. That takes us to 5A, Disability Rights, Idaho. Mike Ross. No Mike Ross?
We emailed. He knew he was on the agenda, so.
Okay, we'll come back to it. Maybe
okay.
Well, then that takes us right to public hearings. Item A, consideration on case number 22-04ZC rezone. And 2209-S preliminary plat. Troy.
Thank you. Good evening, Mr. Mayor, council members. For the record, Troy B. Hunan, Senior Planner, CUNA Planning and Zoning Department, 751 West 4th Street. The applications before you this evening request a rezone in order to rezone approximately 37.20 acres from agriculture to R6 and R8. And also request preliminary plat approval in order to subdivide the same lands into 163 total lots, which are 140 single-family lots, 21 common lots, and one common driveway. Public Works conditionally supports the Astor Grove subdivision development with the conditions of that support listed in Section 5 of the engineer's memo. The P&Z department agrees with Public Works recommendations. Sewer will become available with the extension of the Mason Creek trunk line, of which the applicant has agreed to construct approximately 1,300 feet of that trunk line. The applicant contribution will not only increase sewer capacity for this project, but for the city as a whole. The CUNA School District supports this application. Staff has reviewed the proposed rezone and preliminary plat for technical compliance with CUNA City Code and compliance with Title 5 and Title 6 of the CUNA City Code, Idaho State Statute 67, 65, 65, 11, and the CUNA Comprehensive Plan. And should the council approve the rezone and the preliminary plat, staff recommends that the applicant become subject to the proposed recommended conditions of approval outlined in staff's memo. The applicant is present tonight, and they do have a small presentation. And I am here if the council has any questions.
Okay, questions for Troy?
Not at this time.
All right. Yeah, if the applicant wants to go ahead and come up. And Troy, if you would want to grab the sign-in sheets, I'd appreciate that very much.
All right. Thank you, Madam Clerk. Mayor Steer, council members, Jeff Bauer, 601 West Bannock in Boise, here tonight on behalf of the applicant, Toll Brothers, and we're happy to present to you the Astor Grove subdivision project. With me from Toll Brothers tonight is Adam Capel, Vice President of Land Development. He's available for any questions you might have tonight on the application as well. We have reviewed the staff report prepared by Mr. Behunin and all the recommended conditions of approval. We agree with staff's analysis of the rezone and preliminary plat, and we're in agreement with all of the conditions of approval as well. So first, just to touch on Toll Brothers, they are a Fortune 500 nationwide home builder known for quality luxury single-family homes. They are well-established in Idaho, employing over 140 Idahoans in their Meridian headquarters and throughout the state. They have a well-established footprint here in CUNA as well, working on the Sterling Ranch project as well as Paloma Ridge currently in CUNA. Astor Grove is a 37.2-acre site on the northwest, not corner, but northwest of Meridian Road and Columbia Road. You can see it in blue there. The property is already annexed into the city, and it has agricultural zoning. We have two applications before you tonight. The first is a rezone, and the second is a preliminary plat. As mentioned by Mr. Behunin, currently we are zoned agricultural. You can see the city's current zoning map there on the left-hand side of the screen. We are requesting a rezone portion of the lot to be R6 and another portion to be R8. I've got a different slide in a minute that will show the council those specific zoning areas. The requested zoning in this case is appropriate based on the city's future land use map, which we have outlined on the right-hand side of the screen there. So this property is zoned, designated on the flume as mixed use. This is a new flume, as the council knows, adopted just last year. We have been planning this Astor Grove project for approximately 2 years, so we did work with staff closely, planning staff, over the course of the last year on this future land use map. Lots of correspondence, and the indication from staff throughout that process was that a mixed-zoned residential project like we're proposing tonight does comport with the mixed-use designation here, so that's what we proposed. Not only does this project comport with the mixed-use designation, we also align well with the current zoning that surrounds the property. So northwest of the site, you have the Spring Hill medium density residential project. South, you have low density residential, and to the west we have a mix of residential zoning, anywhere from R6 to some very high density R20 that you see kind of in the deep red there. North of the site is currently zoned agriculture, but that is part of the Pear Blossom residential subdivision project. It's currently owned by a Corey Barton entity, so we anticipate in the near future, another residential project to come into the north as well, probably medium to high residential. So we think we fit in well as a transition there. Turning to the subdivision application, and please do interrupt me if you have any questions as I go. If there are any questions on zoning, let me know. Turning to the subdivision, again, 140 residential lots, all single family, 21 common lots, and we're also proposing one civic lot. That's the lot at the southwest corner of the property. That would be dedicated to the city upon platting of that area. Public Works requested that lot as a future well site. So we're proposing that that be a civic lot, again, dedicated to the city. Overall, the project net density would be 5.74 units per acre. Access to Astor Grove is off of Columbia Road, which is to the south here, and then to the north on a new mid-mile collector, K Avenue, that Toll Brothers would be constructing. Currently, K Avenue would terminate at our northern boundary to be connected by future development. So until it is connected, we've proposed a secondary emergency access out to Columbia at the terminus of this cul-de-sac. This slide is an aerial of Astor Grove. You can see it kind of centered there in the map. And the purpose behind this is just to show the ongoing residential development in the area. Again, to the northwest, you see the Spring Hill Project, and to the southwest is Toll Brothers Paloma Ridge Project. Again, here's our preliminary plat, and the purpose of this slide is to illustrate the zoning districts that we're proposing. So we have a majority of the site as R6 zoning, specifically 25 of the 37 acres, and that's on the west side of the site. On the east side of the site is the proposed R8, and that is the remaining 12 acres. We've proposed this zoning as a transition to the commercial corner on Columbia and Meridian Road, so we're adding a little bit denser product as we think the property to the east will develop as higher density residential or potentially some mixed-use commercial. Here's our phasing plan. As you can see, four phases. We would like to start this project subject to approval at the end of this year, end of 2023, and we would anticipate the final phase four plat being recorded sometime in 2026. Turning to open space, city does require 8% minimum open space. We're proposing 11.3 qualified open space. This open space plan shows green space is provided throughout the community, different pocket parks, as well as the central amenity, which are all connected by these green corridors that split the blocks up and provide off-street pedestrian and bike access to our main amenity. Turning to those amenities, again, the first central amenity is a central park area that's planned for 2.2 acres, having, you know, extensive amenities as well within it. Shade structure, pavilion, picnic area, pathways, and a large grassy play area. And we will have three pocket parks throughout the project with additional seating and landscaping.
This park here, where is it located? We'll let
him finish up, and I'm sorry, and then we'll get to testimony. You can ask questions then if you would. Thank you.
Thanks, Mayor Steer. I'll field that one while I'm here because it's easy. The main central amenity is in the northwestern quadrant here of the site. And an additional amenity that this project's offering, and it is a condition in staff report, you see Mason Creek cutting through that common lot here. We have been conditioned to construct a multi-use pathway in fulfillment of the city's master pathway plan on the north side of that creek. So that's an additional open space amenity we'll be doing with this project. Just a couple quick renderings of that phase one main amenity at the Central Park. And I did want to highlight that that Central Park is in phase one of the project. So it will be constructed in the initial phase, giving all residents access to it from the get-go. Utilities, as Troy mentioned, domestic water and pressurized irrigation are fronting on the site. Sewer is what we've been focused on in this project with staff over the last couple months. We have agreed to construct, as part of phase one of this project, phase 2A. I know that's getting confusing, a lot of phases. Phase 2A of the Mason Creek trunk line. So what this figure is intended to illustrate, red is the full run of the city's planned Mason Creek trunk line. The area in yellow is phase 2A, and that is the portion in yellow that Toll Brothers has agreed to construct as part of phase one of the project. One more minute and I'll get through the end of my slideshow.
Okay, yeah.
Thank you. So we are proposing two distinct housing types with this project. The first is Toll Brothers Garden Collection Homes. These are homes in the 1,500 to 2,400 square foot range on larger lots, averaging around 7,000 square feet. And these homes will be constructed in the R6 portion of the project. The second housing product type is the Arbor Collection. These are more compact single-family residences. These will be in the R8 section of the project. These homes are typically in the 1,800 square foot range. They're very popular in high demand, one of Toll Brothers' most popular product types due to the reduced maintenance and yard upkeep. And with that, I'm happy to stand for any questions. I had to rush through the end. If there are any questions on Mason Creek, trunk line, or anything like that, happy to answer them.
Okay, questions for the applicant.
Please.
Yes.
Just some clarification questions. you're talking about the east side of the property being R8. And if you go to your Astor Grove phasing plan of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, that looks, in that southwest corner, southeast corner, looks like those are some pretty large lots. Those don't look like R8s.
Mayor Steer, Councilmember Laraway, you're correct. That portion of the project, it's sort of split, right? Four or five units on the north side of Phase 4 are in that Arbor Collection. Some are more likely going to be in the Garden Collection, but they all still meet the minimum size requirements.
Okay. Question number two, and again, clarification. You're talking about you have your prime entrance off of Columbia, but on the, I'm going to call it the K Street side, are you saying ACHD has not approved that road, or where's that road coming from?
Mayor Steer, Councilmember Laraway, Laraway, is the question, has ACHD approved K Avenue?
Yes.
Yes, they have, fully approved. So I might have misspoke, but so K Avenue, we will be constructing as a half-street mid-mile collector. So curb gutter sidewalk on our side with full striping and paving, and then a lane on the west side. And that road, we'll construct that to the terminus at our northern boundary.
So that gives you your second exit?
That gives us our main entrance here. But in the future, yes, we will have connectivity to the north once those properties develop to the north. I believe the Spring Hill project in one of their last phases connects.
And my last question for you, in the southwest corner, that larger lot, is that set up for something special?
Southwest large lot corner is the civic lot that we're going to dedicate to the city for, I think, the thought is from Public Works that would be a future site for a domestic well.
Okay. Thank you.
And we are, there's a condition as well that we're going to build sidewalk through that site down to the Mason Creek multi-use path.
Thank you.
Okay, further questions?
I have one. Will both the K Avenue construction and the other egress point at Columbia, will those be completed before Phase 1 commences?
Mayor Steer, Councilmember Briggs, we will build K Avenue to the entrance as a component of Phase 1. So in this area, this is a tough mouse in here. And we will have the secondary access in place before the 30th residential unit is occupied. That's what fire requires.
So there will be one egress point until then. Thank you.
Okay. Further questions?
Not at this time.
All right.
Thank you all.
All right. This is a public hearing. Is there anybody who wishes to testify in this matter and didn't get a chance to sign in? I'll just put your name down. Thank you. We'll start with Greg Rowe.
Mayor Steer, council members, my name is Greg Rowe. I live at 660 West Columbia Road, which is blocked out in the white. My purpose here is not to oppose a subdivision. My purpose here is to get clarification on several points. One would be that south west corner dedicated to the city. This is my neighbor here. We own those two. Did I do that? There, I did it again. Should I set the keyboard on it? So our clarification, we attended the very first meeting about a year ago. We asked for clarifications then, and we've not received anything since. We irrigate out of Mason Creek. We wheel our pump down to Mason Creek, and that feeds both of our lots. That is our main source of irrigation. So we need ingress, egress to that. That's one point, I'm sorry. Another point is the stub road. That stub road would go right between our land. So a little clarification, when would that be installed? And just so you know, I'm a realtor. I realize the impact that road would have on our properties. If I, possibly now, I don't know. If this goes through approval and I want to list these properties, then do I have to list these with the knowledge that the possible buyer knows that the road is going to go through there and when? That would be a major question for listing either one of these properties or both. It would impact our value. There's going to be, if there's a road through there, you can just see how much, not only foot traffic, is there going to be a bus stop? Are people going to be moseying around? Is there a fence? We don't know any of this. So we're asking for clarifications. Timeline, should we get out now? We don't know. Those are the two major areas as far as is my timeline.
You can go ahead and wrap up.
Go ahead. That's my two major proposals. I know my neighbor, I don't know if she's going to speak or not, when she bought her place, and we realized that as a realtor, you put a price on view. Because when you list a property, that is one of the questions. Is there a view? Yes, there's a view straight to Bogus Basin. Is that going to be blocked? That has not been addressed. So I don't know if we need to get with these people, Toll Brothers, with you people, I have no idea.
Okay, we'll try and get most of all that answered here with the rebuttal.
Okay, and if a road does go through there, that will also impact the irrigation because okay. It goes right through the front.
Okay, all right, very good.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for hearing me.
Laura Schaefer, did you wish to?
Good evening, Mayor. My name's Laura Schaefer. I live at 610 West Columbia. And my concern, as I stated in the very first meeting, which we never heard back from, was I suggested and I asked that the northeast corner of our property not be blocked by two-story homes, therefore keeping my view of Bogus Basin, which is one of the reasons I bought the property. My husband would agree, however, he passed in December, so it's me saying this now. It's very important to me to keep that view. I appreciate your consideration.
Okay, thank you very much. Danielle.
Good Good evening, Mayor Steer, council members. My name is Danielle Horace, 711 East Porter. I'm representing CUNA School District. And I'm really excited to finally get to stand up and say that I'd like to testify in support and thank Toll Brothers for their support of CUNA School District. They've been one of the very early partners of the school district. As soon as they came in, they immediately said, what can we do to provide help? So on behalf of students and parents and the administrators, thank you to Toll Brothers for making sure that every student in CUNA has a place to learn. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. And that's all I had. Was there anybody else who didn't get a chance to sign in? Okay. All right. If you want to do your best to answer those questions and
thank you, Mayor Steer, council members, Jeff Bauer, 601 West Bannock. Thanks to Mr. Rowe and Ms. Schaefer for their comments. I'll try to address them as best I can. If I miss anything, I'm sure one of you will remind me. So clarification on the southwest corner, the civic lot, and the irrigation easement. So our development will not impact those folks' access to Mason Creek and their irrigation. There is a express recorded easement in favor of those properties to access Mason Creek. That's of record, and so we would have to respect that, and the city as well would have to respect that once that lot is conveyed as a civic lot. So no impact to easement access to the creek. On the stub road, tighter view here. So they're speaking of this stub road right here. And I know this is a common occurrence in the city of CUNA, given the sort of oftentimes you have a large development on a 40-acre piece with a holdout or two smaller out parcels. So when that occurs, ACHD does require that we stub to those out parcels. And specifically, they require that we stub to them in a way that they're both accessible. So that is why that stub is located where it is, sort of splitting that property line. So if either of those properties were to develop in the future, they would have public road access from a local road. When will it be installed? That is part of phase two of the project. And right now we're sort of looking at this project, phase one and phase two, to be fairly contemporaneous. We'd like to come to the city with those final plats basically at the same time. So we're looking at final plat applications sometime late 2023 and road installation sometime probably late 2024.
Okay.
We are willing to provide some additional screening at the terminus of that road if the council would like. ACHD does have a standard sign they require us to place there, you know, not a dead end extension anticipated in the future sort of sign, but we are happy to provide fencing along that entire boundary if Mr. Rowe and Ms. Schaefer would like that. Could maybe keep down on some of the noise and access until those sites do develop or they request access through that public road. I think I've touched on everything, but let me know if I haven't.
Well, I think from what we've seen before that a fence between the properties would be helpful. We've always had those stub roads that go in and then it's like free range to go meandering through other properties. So I think that would be helpful if you're willing to do that. That would be great.
Yes, sir. Yep, we'll make sure to add that as a condition of approval.
Okay. Yep. All right. And what you'll have to do is come back up and state your name again, so we have it for the record. So, do you want to get through a couple of questions first? This isn't normal, but I just want to make sure that there's only two folks that are.
Troy reminded me the question of Ms. Schaefer with respect to view. We believe that the distance and the separation between the future homes constructed on these lots and the existing homes on the out parcels is sufficient distance that, you know, we're not going to be setback close to them. We think their view would be preserved. That's sort of our position, and that's kind of how we've designed this site. But if it is the pleasure of the council, we would entertain a condition to limit the lots that directly abut the residences on these sites to single family. Not the whole lot frontage, but the specific residences themselves.
Okay. That would be a good neighborly thing to do.
Absolutely.
That.
Yep.
Got it all?
Well, that question. Yeah, so, yeah, if you would go ahead and stand up again. And normally we don't do it this way, but I just want to make sure you get your questions answered.
Yeah, did you say single family or single story?
Story.
Single story, okay. The other thing is, maybe I misunderstood, when will the stub road will end there until when?
Yeah, what happened?
Was that the last of your questions?
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that are we looking at a road going through to Columbia Road all the way through there at whatever phase that was?
Okay.
Could you
right,
state
thank
your
you
name?
Very much.
Could you come back and state your name on the record, please?
Oh yeah, sorry.
Greg Rowe.
Thank you.
And did you have one more question about the irrigation? I saw you.
Yeah.
You kind of made a.
Well. We would like clarification. What kind of ingress egress do we have there? We've never seen anything like that drawn out or anything. Will that come later in a drawing or?
Well, we'll make sure of that because the irrigation district requires that you have access. So we'll make sure that staff, actually probably the best thing for them to do would be look at it and get back with you.
Okay.
But we'll make sure that you have irrigation access because that's required by law.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor Steer.
Thank you. All right. Rebuttal again.
Thank you.
Thank Jeff. You. I appreciate you allowing that.
Absolutely. Jeff Bauer, 601 West Bannock. So I'll hit the road first. The road would terminate as shown in the figure here with our development. And we expect that to be installed sometime, 2024. And that would not be extended to Columbia until Mr. Rowe and Ms. Schaefer elected to do so. ACHD is not going to condemn their property to build a road. So it would not be extended until those lots were redeveloped or they requested the extension.
Okay.
And to clarify, if I misspoke on the condition that we would accept for the preservation of view, that would be single-story restriction on the lots that directly abut the existing residents.
Good. Thank
All right.
You.
I have one question, one further question. I'm going to show you on the computer. Maybe it's just the way it's drawn. This doesn't look very wide. I guess where Columbia conjoins to the cul-de-sac.
Councilmember Biggs, could you repeat your question and turn on Councilmember McPherson's mic so we can pick you up on that? Thank you, sir.
I'll talk loud. So my question was about the egress point at Columbia that goes into the cul-de-sac. It just looks on the diagram. Just looks a little bit more narrow than the normal entry point, like over here on K, and also the stub road. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor Steer, Councilmember Biggs. It is a bit narrower. The idea with that access point is that it would meet all of the fire district's standards for access, but not be a full right-of-way width. And it is just intended to provide temporary emergency access until K does connect through. So we will construct it to the dimension required by the fire district, not intended to be used as an access for the public.
So essentially, we really have one real egress point then from the subdivision. I guess it does meet the minimum specifications, but it's not like the one on K. Until what happens on the east side is developed eventually, because it looks like there'll be probably a road, I would imagine, that will go on the backside of the R8 properties.
Mayor Steer, Councilmember Biggs, there's a lot of opportunity for future connectivity here. Yeah, we got two stub roads to the east. And as I mentioned, I think K Avenue will be connected to the north in the very near future.
I guess I'm back to his question. I got to say, technically, you have one egress and ingress, not just one.
Mayor Steer, Councilmember Laraway, we have one public access at this time, correct? We do meet the fire code with respect to access with the emergency access.
With one entrance?
With one public entrance and a second emergency access, that's correct.
And again, back to his, that strip down at the south, you're considering that an emergency exit?
Mayor Steer, Councilmember Laraway, that's correct. And we have worked with fire on that to some degree. There is a comment letter in the packet indicating that they've approved the secondary emergency access.
If I may ask, the original design did not include that access point, right? That's it was just going to end with the cul-de-sac.
That little thing.
Well, Mayor Steer, Councilmember Biggs, originally we were proposing another public access on Columbia, mm-hmm. but that was not permitted by ACHD.
Why is that?
It has to do, I believe, with the distance to the mid-mile collector and then wanting a greater separation.
So I thought we had an issue with the...
We did.
Yeah, like another subdivision with this exact almost same thing, and it was because of it.
And I think I was told that we can't approve subdivisions that only have one entrance.
Right.
Mayor Steer, Councilmember Laraway, I'm not aware of any prohibition like that. Your city has adopted the 2018 International Fire Code, and under that code, you can have up to 30 units on a single access, and beyond that, with two points of access, you're not restricted to any number of units. So this emergency access qualifies as a secondary access.
Trying to remember because it's only been the last couple of months.
I'm looking at Doug.
For the record, Doug.
When I get excited, I move away from my mic.
For the record, Doug Hansen, CUNA Planning and Zoning. So, yes, we do have a number of approved subdivisions within the city that access just like this with one public full access, ingress, egress, and one emergency access to service it until such time that there's continuation for two full public accesses.
So we're doing this under the assumption that other subdivisions will be built around. I know it's a 99% it's going to happen, but again, we're assuming.
For the record, Doug Hansen, CUNA Planning and Zoning. Councilman Laraway, that's correct. And this is also just a requirement of ACHD. When other development occurs around it, that emergency access will be closed.
Mayor Steer, my only clarification there would be we're not reliant on other projects developing around us. Certainly, I agree with you. I think 99% chance they will. But on its own, with these accesses that we've proposed, it meets the International Fire Code and thus the CUNA City Code.
Planning and zoning, under our, what is considered emergency entrance exit? Is it going to be barred? Is it going to have a chain across it?
What's
going to prevent the public from going in and out on that road?
For the record, Doug Hansen, CUNA Planning and Zoning, on emergency accesses to block off public traffic, we require bollards to be installed.
And maybe you can explain to layman's terms, planning and zoning, his comment about that being too close to a
mid-mile connection.
ACHD has specific requirements as far as successive accesses off of classified roadways. So with its the location of where K and Columbia Road will intersect, there's not a great enough distance of spacing to have another full access onto Columbia Road.
Because of the future road?
Because that's ACHD requirement. With that, with the southwest corner, with the intersection of K and Columbia existing, there would need to be a certain separation. I couldn't tell you the specific distance. That's ACHD policy. But if it doesn't meet that distance in between, they won't permit any other accesses to the site.
Thank you.
So that answers the question about the stub road, too. The stub, won't be able to connect to Columbia either in the future. That's in between those two.
Mayor Steer, Councilmember Biggs, that's correct. The stub road will potentially though stub further into those properties in the future.
Right.
Right.
This wouldn't, yeah, go all the way through.
Okay. Further questions?
No, sir.
Not at this time.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Make a motion that we close public hearing 22-04-ZC. And 22-09-S, move into deliberation.
I actually have one question for the school district. But
sure.
Yes, ma'am. Is the developer working with the school district, will it directly ease capacity or affect capacity in the future? Or?
Good question.
Yeah.
Hi, Danielle Horace, 711 East Porter, CUNA School District Director of Strategy. It's a really complicated question, and I know you know that. It's very much a partnership between the community as well as developers. And when I say that we are testifying in support, it's because the developers did what their job is to do, and that's to lean in and support and make sure kids have a place. We still need a bond to ease capacity. We need all of those areas of funding to make the school system work here in CUNA.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for the question.
Thank you.
I'm good.
Okay, I had a motion and a second. Any further? Okay,
you seconded.
You did, didn't you?
I did.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'll second it.
I got a clarification question again for planning and zoning.
Oh.
On the K Road, and I'm not trying to fix a problem, I'm trying to educate myself. On the K Road, if instead of having an entrance right smack in the middle, if they were to have two separate entrances on K Road, would that's not going to be a problem, is it?
Commissioner Laraway, or Councilman Laraway, for the record, Doug Hansen, CUNA Planning and Zoning. That would be up. That would also fall subject to the successive driveway requirement for ingress egress because K is going to be built out as a classified roadway. It'll be a mid-mile collector, so that also would be subject to successive driveway distance separations.
Thank you.
Okay, now we had a motion in a second. Motion by Councilmember Biggs and seconded by Councilmember Bruce to close the public hearing portion and move on to deliberation. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? That motion carries. Well, I will say that I am extremely happy that they are willing to work with the school district and do what they can to help minimize those impacts. I think that the Mason Creek Line project is going to greatly benefit from that. So I appreciate the cooperation there. And also the piece of property for a future well is a big deal. So those are all good upsides.
And their willingness also for the single-story units adjacent to the Schaefer property is nice. I don't know if we can make that a condition of our approval.
Mark Bybee, city attorney. So on a condition like that, my understanding, and Troy or Doug could correct me, is that the development code, as written for the city, you can't compel that as a condition, that they would need to be, the applicant would need to be agreeable to the condition. I think they represented where they're at on that and may be willing to entertain it if the council insists on it, but I think you would need that clarification. If you're going to add that to a condition, I think it would need to be an agreed-to condition, not one that can just be unilaterally imposed.
Right. Well, yeah, I was only going off that from what the developer actually said, so.
And what, just for clarification, what are you talking about?
That would be right here, which was the
single story.
Oh, the single family home.
Right.
The single,
single
story
homes block that would, so the view for Bogus would still be there.
Plus the installation of the Mason Creek trunk line will save the taxpayer money.
Mm-hmm. I'm not crazy about the traffic situation. That's kind of interesting that this is a pretty big development. It seems like that would have that one spot, but if it meets code, there's really nothing I can say.
You can go to an ACHD meeting.
Yeah. Well, then K is going to be extended at some point to, I would imagine, up to Deer Flat, I guess it would be the mid arterial connection. Ultimately would go up to Deer Flat if it's going to be that other big subdivision. Lake Hazel, sorry.
It's on Deer Flat. It's on.
Well, K should go from Deer Flat too at some point.
Yeah, K is programmed to be the entire. Yeah,
Deer Flat, Hubbard, Columbia.
At Lake K.
Mm-hmm.
And the partnership with the school district is a big step, so. All of
it. It's good if the school supports it.
Mr. Warway, what are your thoughts? Councilman?
My only hang-up is just that ingress, egress. I don't understand the process behind that to where we would allow one major entrance. I understand the emergency vehicle part. I get it. But it just doesn't make any sense. Well, that doesn't mean it's not right or wrong. It just doesn't make no sense to me using common sense.
Well, the other part that's a little interesting to me is that the major egress point is on the opposite side from where the more dense, the more dense plots are.
I wish I knew more about this stuff. Makes no sense to me why they would not allow that access on the Columbia Road. Even if they moved the road to the west and eliminated the houses, it just makes no sense.
And I know so if we can, at some point, I really would like to schedule us to meet with Ada County Highway District commissioners they're working on policy changes, and that's what I've mentioned now the last three or four months.
I completely support you on that. And it has to do with the road that these people are talking about. I mean, it's to force a road down somebody's property, not now, but just because of future development. Yes, I agree with you 100%.
That's government for you.
Well, I'm all for the mayor. Let's have a meeting with ACHD. They want to do it. Anyway, I appreciate the trunk line. I appreciate the big park in the middle. I appreciate them working with the neighbors to make sure that
they have what they need.
Their wants are at least somewhat respected. I mean, when you guys did Paloma, I like the fact you were going from R8 to R6 to R4. I was kind of hoping you'd stay away from R8, but that's my personal opinion. I have nothing else, and everything seems to be within code.
Well, and then beyond that, I would like staff to check into the irrigation thing to make them comfortable with what's actually there, and that they'll always have access to their irrigation, and you can do that. Just look into what's already been deeded and everything like that for easements.
Okay, Mayor, can I speak? Okay,
yes,
City Engineer. In item 6E of our memo, it says that they have to existing irrigation ditches, supply and drain must be relocated as needed and as approved by the irrigation ditch company and users. So they are obligated to put those ditches. If they have to be relocated, they have to relocate them into the satisfaction of the people who are currently using them. They cannot change that flow, either increase or decrease. So it has to remain the same, and we have already addressed it.
Okay. Thank you, Paul Stevens, City Engineer, address CUNA City.
Wherever it is. Yeah.
Very good. All right. Question is rightfully before council.
So we do have it on record that the developer is willing to make those the view homes single story.
How would you like us to add that to the motion? Or
I think they would said they'd be willing to entertain it. I think it's worth clarifying where the developer left off on that, in my opinion, because their stated position is they think that the view is fine with two stories, but they wanted if the council insisted on it, I think they wanted some conversation on that before just agreeing to it. That's how it sounded to me.
And so it sounds like you're willing to work with them to.
And so
you want to table it? Good.
Mark Bybee, city attorney, just to clarify. I'm just going to state this on the record because it won't be captured anywhere. Jacob Bauer, who represents the applicant, put his thumb in the air to the statement of agreeing to that as a condition. So I believe that we have assent by the applicant to a condition of requiring one-story lots on the or homes on the lots that are adjacent to these two. I don't know how to call them other. They're on the south border of the parcel. Now there's a finger up. Well, so now, see, this is why we need clarification.
Thank you, Mayor Steer, Councilmember Biggs. We do consent to the condition, and just as a clarification,
If we're going to do this, then let's reopen the public hearing so that we can.
We didn't do this. He did this.
Right, but I mean, we need to.
Okay.
Okay, so.
I'll make a motion that we reopen the public hearing.
Second.
Okay, motion's made and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. Okay.
Thank you, Mayor Steer. I'll be brief. The condition that we find acceptable is limit the lots that abut the residences on those out parcels to single story. So it's not that all of those lots would be single story, but we directly align with the residences to limit them to single story.
So if I may just.
I'm a visual guy. You're talking eight of them.
Those two pretty much, are those the two, I'm pointing at the two that are just directly northeast?
Yeah, no, so both of these out parcels have residences on them, single family residences. So what the condition that we would consent to would be, let's say the residence is right here, we would agree to limit these two lots to single story. And say the residence is right here, we would agree to limit this lot to single story. So the intent would be to try to maintain the view corridor, but not limit that whole block of lots to single story.
Now those lots, you don't have numbers on those.
Yeah, it's not too confusing, I don't think, Mayor Steer. What we're agreeing to do is preserve their view with single-story lots that abut their residences.
Well, and this is where I was asking. I mean, I'm not trying to be illogical, but if we go through this and then down the road, you try saying we're going to put single-level houses on these two lots, and they don't have a choice. Well, wait a minute. It becomes... I don't want to get involved in that, and that's what I was going to ask to the attorney. I mean, theoretically, if they ask all eight lots have single floors, I don't think we should do that.
Mark Bybee, city attorney. So I think it's just about the clarity of the condition. An easy way to do it if we said these lots, but I'm hearing a little maybe confusion as to which numbered lots would align with view. Another way possibly to craft a condition would be to say that they shall, that there may, at least a certain number of lots that are adjacent will only be single story. The lots to be single story will essentially be agreed to with the neighboring parcel owner, something along those lines. But I, unless they know exactly the number of the lots that are the ones that they want to preserve as single story, I don't know how we get there right now. And so the other option would be to leave it to some agreement as to which two are single story or which one is single story with an adjacent property owner.
Is that something a planning zoning could look at once this plat starts going to where the numbers are assigned to them?
I think we'd need the condition in the decision tonight with some way of it actually being enforceable, is either leaving it to that future agreement or identifying the numbers tonight, which I don't think we can, but I don't know.
Is that something you can do with conditions of approval and then explain that when you bring it back to council for that, for the findings of fact?
For the record, Doug Hansen, CUNA Planning and Zoning. The difficulty with that right now is that even if they were to put two-story homes, they meet city code. They conform to the dimensional standards with two-story homes. So this is just a condition that the applicant would have to be amenable to. We can't force it upon them. So if we were to have them enter into some sort of agreement with the property owners to decide which home should be single story, that would kind of be the end of the line for us. We would just have to ensure that they enter into an agreement with the property owners, the adjacent property owners, to not impede their view, and that's about as far as we could get into it.
And Mayor Steer, I do think we're overcomplicating it. I think the language that we proposed works. We're willing to restrict the lots that abut the residences beneath us to single story. So when we look at an aerial with staff, when we come in for the final plat for phase two, we can line those up and it will be clear which lots need to be restricted to single story.
Does that make sense?
Mr. Capel might have something to add too.
I thank you for being acquiescing about this. I mean, theoretically, you don't have to.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah, if I may, Adam Capel, Toll Brothers, 3103 West Sherrill Drive, Meridian. Ms. Schaefer expressed her concern for the view. We want to protect her view corridor, so the intent is to restrict some lots adjacent to Ms. Schaefer's lot to single story to protect her view corridor. And if that is the three directly to her north, if that is the two directly to her northeast, we're agreeable to that. I can go point it out on the map, the intent behind that, but we do want to protect her view corridor because that was something she was concerned with.
Well, and I think...
Can I go explicitly define them on the map?
I think you should also look at the landscaping. If there's huge trees on the lot...
Well, they have huge trees
on theirs. There's like one little part.
I'm not trying to put you in a pigeonhole, but if they have trees in a certain area, it doesn't make any sense for you to put single level behind the trees.
Right.
That makes sense?
I think we're getting really deep in this. I think they've already agreed to do what they're going to do. I think we'll be able to.
Okay.
To work our way through this. I appreciate your cooperation.
Yes, thank you.
You what? Mark?
It's your hearing, Mary. It's your call on whether you allow rebuttal.
What's that?
It is your hearing, so it's your decision on whether to allow rebuttal.
All right, I'll do one.
Thank you. My name is Laura Schaefer. I live at 610 West Columbia Road. When we had our meeting a couple years ago, I said, if you come to my property, I will show you the two lots that I'm talking about. It was made very clear and very simple. It's not complicated. Nobody ever attempted to do that. All I'm asking for is two lots at the corner.
So if you would come to my property and look, you would know which those which lots they are, and I think I could even show you on the map.
Ma'am, I'm going to pull, ma'am, for the record, this is Chris Ingalls. I'm going to pull it up on a Google map with the satellite.
Chris, unless Mark Bybee, city attorney, unless we can preserve this map on the record, I don't recommend that because it creates problems if there is ever a judicial challenge to this.
Do you want me to clip?
If you can clip it and preserve it, that's the only way I'd recommend adding the map.
I have it.
Do you have it in the packet?
It's in the packet. Mr. Mayor and council members, for the record, Troy Buchanan, CUNA Planning and Zoning Department. So if you go to page... If you go to Exhibit 2.11 in the packet, there is a composite of the layout with an aerial view of the homes overlaying the overlaying her property.
What page is that, Troy?
It's linked inside the staff report. So if you go to the staff report, it's the
2.1.
Okay, hold on. We're going to bring it up right here.
Mayor Steer, in conferring with Mr. Capel, I think we can clarify this condition even more. So in looking at the preliminary plat, which is an exhibit that I believe Madam Clerk's trying to pull up, the two lots that we are agreeing to limit to being single-story are lots 4 and 5 of Block 2 in Phase 2.
Troy, you want to grab the... You want to jump to it?
I can point to which ones those are in this map.
That makes the most sense.
That's these two right here.
Two right here.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
That
Thank
makes
you.
Sense.
Yes.
Very much.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
So again, lots 4 and 5, Block 2, Phase 2.
Thank awesome. You. Thank you for that. All right. Anything further before we close public hearing again?
I make a motion that we close the public hearing and move to deliberation.
Second.
All right, motion's made and seconded. Any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. The question is rightfully before council.
I believe we have everything we need right on the record.
I think so.
Do we need to phrase it a certain way, or do you?
I think how Mr. Bauer phrased it with it's the condition for lots 4 and 5 of Block 2 and Phase 2 is perfect because it's identifying very particular lots that will be limited to a single story. Yeah. For the record, Doug Hansen, CUNA Planning and Zoning, I would just add to the tail end of that condition as identified on the preliminary plat.
I make a motion that we approve case number 2204ZC and 2209S with the condition identified on the preliminary plat.
Second.
And staff recommendations.
Still second.
Okay. Motion is made and seconded. Is there any further discussion?
I clarify the motion. So
okay.
A motion to approve both the applications. I'll leave the numbers to you with a agreed upon condition that lots 4 and 5 of Block 2 in phase two as identified on the preliminary plat. And it's okay if you just say that motion is what I want as your motion.
That motion is what I want.
And second still stand.
Yes.
All right. Any further discussion? All right. Well, that was a little difficult to get around, but I'm glad that we were able to get to that point. It's always good when you leave a meeting at least feeling a little better about what the outcome will be. So So thank you for that. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And that motion carries.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Did Mike Ross
thank
come
you.
In?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Where's Mike Ross?
No, he still hasn't arrived, Mayor.
Okay. Item 7A, consideration to approve Resolution 37-2023, accepting the conveyance of property from GC Cuna Land pursuant infrastructure agreement with Brisby LLC, Morgan Treasure.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. For the record, Morgan Treasure, Economic Development Director of City of Cuna. This action we have before you tonight is one of the tying up of pieces of business that we have to perform on our infrastructure agreement with Brisby LLC, which is the LLC attached to the Meta project. At the time we made that agreement underneath the official DA, the parcel of ground identified for the lagoons and the land application area was not a separate parcel. The city and the property owner went through the process to create that subdivision and carve off that parcel as an individual piece of land. And now that that is plat has been recorded with the county, they're asking to come forward with council approval to accept the transfer of deed so that property can actually be held under the city of Cuna's name. So just some bureaucratic cleanup on that. I am happy to answer any questions if there are any.
Questions for Morgan.
Okay. Matt, John. So I make a motion to approve Resolution 37-2023.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? And that motion carries. That leads us to executive session under Idaho Code 74-2061F. We would need a motion to adjourn to executive session, and we need Mark and Morgan. Paul? Paul is late. Jared? Okay.
I make a motion to adjourn and move to executive session under Idaho Code 74-206.
And keep,
yeah.
Paul, Morgan, Jared, and...
Paul, Morgan, Jared, and...
Mark.
I'll second it. Oh, it was Laura Way.
Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Bruce?
Aye.
Councilmember Biggs?
Aye.
Councilmember Larraway?
Aye.